Good day, everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Jesus, our Messiah. The name of this broadcast is Cross the Border, and I'm Nicholas, and this is a live prophecy reality edition. So if you're listening on a Wednesday morning, come on over to the chat room at firstamendmentradio.net and join the conversation. Let's start with a scripture verse here. My scripture verse for the day is 2 Timothy 3:12 through 17. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, at least from being a child in Christ, if you were introduced to Christ at an older age, but these Scriptures which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. The man of God. Yeah, let's be in that class. Being perfected in Christ Jesus. That's what it's all about. Okay, well, welcome to the chat room, and sorry about the lack of audio there at the beginning of the program. I remembered everything else today, but forgot to plug in my own mic. Yeah. It's tough being your own producer and trying to remember everything. Okay. Yes. And we have Luke and Mark. Hey, we have Luke and Mark over in the chat room at come on over to the chat room at First Amendment Radio. That's, I'm watching both now. I have both chat rooms up. But yeah, anyway. What are we going to talk about today? Well, the time that we're living in. And this is a pretty pretty scary time that we live in. I've never seen anything like it. You know, probably no one has seen anything like it since World War II. Seriously. What a year it's been. I have an article here. I was reading, and I want to share some of it with you. Thank you for that, Patrick, in the chat room. He says, producer forgiven. Yeah, I need all the forgiveness I can get. Yeah. Okay. Let me share this article. According to this government, all Americans are terrorists. Did you know that? That we're all terrorists. Yeah. And will be treated as such. History will have to record that the greatest tragedy of this period of social transition was not the strident clamor of the bad people, but the appalling silence of the good people. Injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. We are caught in an inescapable network of mutuality tied in a single garment of destiny. Whatever affects one directly affects all indirectly. He who passively accepts evil is as much involved in it as he who helps to perpetrate it. He who accepts evil without protesting against it is really cooperating with it. And that was written by Martin Luther King Jr. from Birmingham Jail in 1963. But I think truer words have never been spoken than those. The article continues, we are all terrorists now. This is the new paradigm that has consumed this country. This is why a fake virus pandemic has been successful in capturing the bodies and minds of the public, and why this blatant conspiracy based only on the total control of this entire population continues to be advanced with little resistance, it seems. The new normal is not as it is described, and is not just a temporary disallowance of freedom. It is so much more. The idea that is being used as the major control measure of this takeover coup is fear, not fear from monsters from afar, but fear of each other. Every citizen is now considered a threat to every other citizen. Every citizen is considered a threat to the country, and therefore a threat to national security. What a brilliant scheme this is. But it is brilliant only in its deceit and indisputable malevolence. We are experiencing pure evil, an evil that is being used to pit all against all, turning a country once united into a country filled with hate and distrust. And there's plenty more to this article. This is from LouRockwell.com. According to this government, all Americans are terrorists. Good article. You should read on if you get over there to LouRockwell.com. Plenty of good articles there for you to look at. I don't think I'm going to read many articles today from, well, we might if we have time. Mathematician, if you guys have been paying attention to the goings on, there have been hundreds of thousands of people watching the testimony in Michigan and Arizona. And the testimony is evidence. This is evidence, most of it, under penalty of perjury. So there is plenty of evidence. The evidence is overwhelming that this election was fraudulent. And, you know, I felt for many, many years that the elections were fraudulent going way back. Even the 2016 election that got Donald Trump elected was fraudulent. That's the new, that's what we're discovering by this, what went on with this election. That actually, you know, they say that Donald Trump just squeaked by on the Electoral College vote in 2016. And you saw how Hillary, all the pundits thought Hillary was going to win. And why did they think Hillary was going to win? Well, because the election was fixed. They were all in on the secret. Yeah, the secret that was outed this year. In actuality, Donald Trump, the populist candidate, won by a landslide 2016. And the landslide was much bigger than the other party accounted for, and therefore lost anyway. That's right. That's what happened in 2016. But this year, this time around, they made sure, as a matter of fact, they had to cheat so much that they couldn't hide it, and it became too obvious. I mean, anyone, I don't care what party you're aligned with, if you watch, you got to call all of those people, those hundreds of people that have testified liars. You have to say all of the evidence and all of the circumstances mean absolutely nothing. In other words, you have to be dishonest. You have to be one of those people that are so gullible that they believe that the COVID virus is much more than the seasonal flu or the common cold as it's being tested. You have what you call it, what do they call them, cases that asymptomatic. That means people that aren't sick, asymptomatic. That's right. And they say, oh, you got to be careful. Asymptomatic spreaders. You got to get tested to see if you're asymptomatic spreader of COVID virus because you don't want to be spreading to other people. You know what I say? Hey, if you've been tested as an asymptomatic spreader, come over here and visit me. I want your COVID virus because I want the virus that has no symptoms. If I'm going to catch it, that's the variety of it that I want to catch, the asymptomatic variety. How about that? Because if you have no symptoms, are you sick? Yeah, you know, if a tree falls in the forest and no one's there to hear it, does it make a sound? You know, that's the thing, man. It's, you test for this and you're asymptomatic. You're an asymptomatic spreader. So now they have to shut down the meatpacking plant or, you know, they have to test everyone at your work to see if there's any more asymptomatic spreaders out there. Why? We can't have people spreading a disease that doesn't make people sick. You know what? We already have that disease. It's called being well. Yes. PCR test is the case virus, right? So you have, you're a case virus. Oh, man. Okay. So anyway, so what's going to happen here? And heard that, what's her name? The famous, former attorney general. Prosecuting attorney, federal prosecuting attorney. I can't think of her name right at the moment, but she put out a tweet, and I only remember it from seeing it on, I think, Twitter somewhere. And if I could remember her name, but anyway, she said that, pretty much that, that President Trump should, declare martial law and postpone perhaps the Electoral College vote, the January 20th inauguration, put everything off by 90 days. Yeah, oh yes, let's have some arrests while we're at it. There are other things that are going on. There's been some moving around in the districts and who oversees the districts where the disputed counts are. And Trump put in charge of those districts favorable Supreme Court justices in charge of those districts. So we see things are moving behind the scenes. Also, Trump's made some some changes to the Defense Department and chain of command. So we see that Trump is doing things that you've never seen a lame duck president do before. So he's getting ready for something. And so I don't think we're going to have to wait long. We have till the 15th. And I think unless things start happening by the 15th, I think he may declare martial law. It's a good possibility. And do those things as state of emergency. I think that perhaps we could see arrests taking place. Yeah, martial law, meaning that arresting traitors. Another thing is they just did something with the law about, because it used to be for traitors, for treason, the penalty was death by hanging. Well, they changed that or updated it to make it, death by firing squad. I mean, these are funny things for a lame duck president to be doing. So you see, things may be moving behind the scenes. And, you know, I mean, here's the choice I'm looking at. Either we have martial law and they start arresting treasonous traitors that are trying to overthrow our republic because they're blatantly doing it. Many of them in Congress, many of them in the Senate, many of them in the governments, many of them over there in Silicon Valley. They're trying to overthrow our republic. And that's called treason or insurrection. That is the definition by law. So if Trump can do this, if he can get the government behind him, and that's the real question. How powerful is the Antichrist and his shadow government behind the scenes? If Trump does this, will they be able to stop him or kill him? And I think he better be very careful. And so, you know, as whether you like Trump or not, and I haven't agreed with a lot of things he's done, but I'm praying for him, man, that if he's going to stand up against the Antichrist and his shadow government, and he's going to declare martial law and start arresting these treasonous traitors that, you know, that are trying to overthrow our republic, by law, he has every right to do this, and he should do it. The alternative to him doing that, if he can, and if he can't do it, we'll learn the alternative anyway, is to have the Antichrist and his shadow government in full control of this country and to overthrow the republic. You know, I guess they weren't ready to do it when they had Barack Obama. They moved a lot, and they've moved a lot since George Bush was in. They put a lot of things in place for what we're going through now. Since the beginning of this century with the Bushes. and even before that, but, you know, like the Patriot Act and with 9-1-1, all of that, and plus some of the laws they passed back then that led up to what we're experiencing right now with these pandemic laws and the powers that were given to the states and the legislatures and the governors that they could do now were all implemented and put in place after 9-1-1. So this is no flash in the pan thing that just popped up on the radar. This is something that's been going on behind the scenes, and actually has been going on for over 100 years, ever since the Antichrist and his shadow government got the Federal Reserve coup of the U.S. Treasury. Yes, the Federal Reserve is not federal. It is the Antichrist's Federal Reserve. It is the Vatican bankers who got the Federal Reserve coup of the U.S. Treasury in 1913 and have been working ever since. Now with the technology comes the technocracy and total control. Everything that the Antichrist has dreamed of, everything that Satan has dreamed of, because truly Satan is the king of the Antichrist and his shadow government. He's the king of the people. He is the Lord and God of the people that are trying to overthrow our republic. He is the God that is deluding them all that worship the beast and his image. Yes. So that's what we see. What it's going to be determined here within the next 15 days perhaps, but definitely in the next 30 to 45 days, we'll see how this is going to fall out. Whether it's going to be just, we're going to get these criminals and traitors like Joe Biden and his son and all the people that he's appointing, all the people he's bringing back from the Obama administration, many of them. And they're just going to do, you know, what the Chi-Coms and the Antichrist and his shadow government want to do. And as I tell you, everywhere you see totalitarian government, there you see the Antichrist has the most control over the people, because that is his form of government. Always has been, always will be, as long as he's able. Totalitarian, total government control, communism, Marxism, all of it, that's his. That's his mark of authority. Wherever you see that, that's where he's in total control. And hey, we're losing that republic that we had for 200 and plus years. We're losing it. Slipping away very fast now. And we'll see, because the scripture doesn't tell us where the two-horned earth beast, or America, is going to stand beyond the two horns of power being pretty much equal and opposing each other, one lamb-like and the other draconic in speech. And the dragon speech is just very loud right now. But hey, the people standing up against it are just as loud. And to watch what people are doing, given the opportunity, even though some of them deludedly wearing masks and stuff, but willing to stand up and speak the truth, regardless of the consequences, by the hundreds at those meetings and before the legislatures of both Michigan and Arizona. So if you haven't been watching those are all online. Very compelling. And I'll tell you, once I start watching, it's hard to stop watching. Yes. Okay. Trump actually merged the Federal Reserve with the U.S. Treasury via executive fiat, now that actually is federal, or the U.S. Treasury is now privately owned. Yeah, well, they already controlled it, so there's really no difference. That actually would be downsizing. But if he doesn't understand what we understand. He doesn't know about the Antichrist and his shadow government. Trump is walking around blind. You know, I think he's just a good guy trying to do the best that he can do. He's a fallible man. Maybe he has more faults than me or you, and maybe he doesn't. I don't really know. But I can't, I'm going to judge him by what he does and by what he says and pray for him, you know, and, you know, hey, if he can pull off, the martial law thing and actually, start arresting some of these criminals, I think that would be great. How many of you, you know, would stand up with him? Well, I would. If he starts arresting criminals like Joe Biden and his son, just to begin with, and not only that, all of these traitors that are trying to overthrow our republic, well, I'm on his side. Yeah. I'm all for that. Okay, we're going into a break. We'll be back in a few minutes. You're listening to Cross the Border, Prophecy Reality Edition. Don't go anywhere.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on satellite, internet, or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our listen and schedule pages on the internet. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
Oh, welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border. And I was trying to find Sidney Powell's Twitter page so I could find that post, but I can't seem to find her Twitter page. If anyone has a link to that, perhaps you could help me out with it. Here we go. Maybe this is it. Prosecutor for We the People. Yeah. File second loss. Check that out. Maybe I can find it. Now, just getting lost here on other stuff. Doesn't help. Yeah. Okay, well, I'm finding everything but Sidney Powell. People writing about her. Yeah, I wish I could find that. That was something. But maybe somebody else will find it in the chat room. Let me check the chat room here. Oh, well, it's good to see everybody here. Let's see, we got any comments, questions. A house divided. Trump may be pseudo-assassinated to make way for Pence, the gray savior. Oh, geez. Pseudo-assassinated? Yeah. Andrew Jackson, his major accomplishment was that I killed the bank, the central bank. Yes, I know all about that, Mercury Falling. Thank you for that. The Republic was corporatized in 1871 on the heels of the fomented Civil War. Yes, I've heard that too. Yeah. So a lot of stuff in our history that's quite iffy. Let's see. Oh, here somebody has it. Oh, is that it? Why is that? Oh, is that a picture of her? It doesn't. I thought that maybe that was another Sidney Powell. Okay, well, if that's her, then I should be able to find it, unless the Twitter took it down, which they may have done. Let's see, December 2nd. Well, she's got a lot of stuff up here, if that's her page. Yeah. Okay, well, probably not going to find that exact posting I'm looking for, because I'm 4 hours ago. Oh, wow. Yeah, she does a lot of stuff. Okay. Calls the press. Oh, this is it here. Yeah, this is the one. This is what I was looking at. WTC calls for president to invoke limited martial law to hold a new election. Yeah, that's what I was talking about. And, you know, that's the other alternative, is to hold another election. You know, maybe to a limited martial law to hold everything off for 90 days. Maybe elect some, maybe arrest some traitors. We'll see what's going to happen, but man, this ought to be, the anticipation is quite a bit much. But, and is this the whole thing? Martial law press release by Tom. Ah, I see. So this is it. WTPC, whatever the WP. Oh, We the People Convention calls for president to invoke limited martial law to hold a new election and protect our vote. In full page Washington Times ad, if legislators, courts, and Congress do not follow the Constitution. So, Akron, Ohio, president of the Tea Party, yeah, published a full page ad in the Washington Times newspaper demanding that President Trump invoke limited martial law in order to allow the U.S. military to oversee a new, free, and fair federal election if legislators, courts, and the Congress do not follow the Constitution. And, well, too late. I think it's kind of too late to follow the Constitution. We'll see what happens. We wanted to express our concerns to the president, to the legislators, to the courts of Congress that we, the people, will not cede our exclusive constitutional right to elect our representatives to judges, lawyers, courts, governors, secretaries of states, Congress, corrupt election officials, and local politicians. And I believe this has a lot more to do with than just the election. Hopefully it'll get rid of this COVID virus stuff that's going on, lockdowns and all of that stuff. Corrupt election officials, local politicians, corrupt media, or leftist threats of violence. It is our exclusive right to elect our president, and that sacred right has been infringed by the massive planned illegal election fraud conducted by corrupt Democrat National Socialist Party operatives across our nation to steal our vote. We will not stand for it. And, you know, I think we ought to all join them and not stand for it. Let's see. Here's something from AOC. Is anyone archiving these Trump sycophants for when they try to downplay or deny their complicity in the future? Hey, are you complicit in the future? I foresee decent probability of many deleted tweets, writings, photos in the future. Yes. Yeah, that's what we're going to get. Probably total control over the entire internet. If things keep moving the way they're moving, because they're not going to be happy with just being able to cancel you on Twitter and YouTube and Facebook and every other mainstream corporate media place. But I think they're eventually, well, I know what the Antichrist wants. He wants to cancel you on the whole whole internet. And I said it years ago that eventually the time is going to come when you will not be able to get on the internet without your Mark of the Beast identification, you know, signifying that you have acquiesced and worshiped the beast or its image, or have the number of his name, you know, all those things listed in chapter 13 of the Revelation, having to do with the mark of the beast and his one world monetary system, because, well, you're going to have it to buy or sell, and to buy your way on the to the internet, you're going to have the mark of the beast, or you're going to be off. And it's kind of like the social credit thing they got going in China. The Antichrist would love that. So anyway, there you have it. That's what I was talking about when I said that that she was calling, but actually she was reposting something from someone else, the WTPC, the We the People Convention. So calling on the president to invoke limited martial law. And it seems that the president has moved things around and has been arranging things for the last several weeks, or probably since the election, to do just that. And apparently he's going to have to do that before the 15th, because he probably, like, I don't believe that the AP has called the election for Joe Biden. How many of you see that? The AP has called the election for the Joe Biden, as if that's somewhere in the Constitution, you know, that the AP gets to call the election for whoever, you know, when they call it, that's it, it's done and over with. No, he's waiting for the Electoral College to meet on December 15th, because the election is not called until then, until all of the states certify their election results, which they all have not done yet. So Joe Biden, you know, until all of the states certify, Joe Biden is not going to get his 270 in the Electoral College. So we'll see. Yeah, I'm not sure I know which way is going to be the best way for this thing to go until it plays out. But we'll only get to see the way it actually plays out. So it will be very interesting times that we live in here. Let's see, WW. I was driving completed ballots from New York to Pennsylvania, so I decided to speak up. Oh, yeah, and that was a USPS contract truck driver who transferred 288,000 fraudulent ballots from New York to PA. That's testimony. That's evidence. That's under penalty of perjury. Thank you for that, WW. And, you know, that's why I said it's so compelling. You start listening to people and you're going, wow. Literally hundreds of people have testified, and there are plenty more from what I hear. And then there's plenty more evidence. Yeah. Yes, of course, they have the mind. WW says, remember, black markets matter. I like that one. Yeah, black markets are going to matter if the Antichrist gets his Mark of the Beast Inquisitions in the future. Where he's going to get them, whether he's going to get them throughout the USA. But I look around and we have plenty of Nazis out there. You know, we have it's like the masks. They're like the Nazi testing grounds to see how many people will police anything on their neighbor, you know? How many people will turn Nazi on their neighbor, in their own family even? And there are plenty of them out there. You know, history has proved that out. We have the whole history of Nazi Germany to prove that out. You know, why did people go along with Hitler and the Nazis? Because they were afraid, fear. They were fear-driven that if they didn't go along or keep their mouth shut or keep their head down, yeah, how'd that work out for them? Not very well. And it did work out very well for the whole world. But so now Biden can hide out in the White House basement. I'm sure he will, yeah. Probably... Biden, yeah, if he dies in office, they'll just leave him sitting there. Oh, he's asleep on the couch in the basement, you know. We put him in a nice bed, you know, velvet-covered bed with a lid on it called a coffin. But he's still president. He's as alive as he was when he got elected. Yeah. Oh. WW says over 50% of my neighbors are Nazis. Yeah, I know, it's frightening. You go into the store and all these people are what's really scary is the people driving around in their cars alone or riding their bikes or jogging through the park, you know, with a diaper on their face, with a dirty diaper on their face. You know, things just collecting dirt. Yeah. God knew what he was doing when he made us without diapers on our face. Yeah, that's right. We won't go any further into that. Let's see. President Vampire Biden. Yes. Well, let's see. Let's check out. Tear down the gallows. The NDAA Patriot Act, after they're destroyed, called Operation Haman's Gallows. Yeah. Yeah, I got that, Luke, in the chat room over there. Yeah. Says the Chicago Daily Tribune called the election for Dewey. Okay, well, that's probably some history I don't remember. Was I alive then? That's probably history. I should know a little more history. But I won't be holding my breath, but I can always dream, yeah. Well, I can hope and I can pray, but I won't hold my breath either, because I don't know how this is. Whatever way it plays out, you know, we all have one job to do, and that is to obey our Lord and our Master, and that is the King, Jesus. Yeah, that obedience to Him, no matter what, come what may, and no matter what the cost, even if it's death, you know. Boy. Sorry about that. Even if it's death. Okay, well, let's see. My caller hasn't called in today. It says, weird, I lost the stream. Oh, no, no. It says, stream is live and still going here, so no interruptions or hiccups on my connection end. Okay, well, what else do we have? In the second hour, I was going to look at some comments and questions on my prophecy books and such. And so if you have any comments or questions having to do with prophecy, if you read my latest book, or if you haven't, you should get it and read it. If you haven't read even When the Third Temple is Built, you can get a free copy of this online. I can give you a free e-copy of it or PDF. Go to my website, crosstheborder.org, or nicholasarthur.wordpress.com. Either way, it gets you to the same place. And click on the free ebook tab there. And follow the instructions and request a copy of When the Third Temple is Built. Your name and where you're calling from, you're on the air. See, I said, where's my regular caller? And on command, he calls in. I'm glad you're still listening, and we're all still praying for you here. So everybody in the chat room, everybody listening to this program, yeah, please pray for my or Nicholas's ghost caller, that he could have an encounter with the Almighty God, yeah, and may even know His saving grace. Yeah, what a thing to pray for, huh? Yeah, we should pray that for everybody in our family. Hey, even people like Joe Biden and Kamala Harris and all of these wicked people out there that are doing wickedly. Let's see, back. Is he talking about traffic ticket? Yeah, I have no idea. Let's see. Antiquity says, this may be hard to understand for spoilt and pampered generations of post-World War II people who have never experienced hardship, suffering, or privation of any kind. However, if we obey our parents, our teachers, and civil authorities, then how much should we obey God, who is preeminent and above all these in power and authority? And to that I would say, amen. How much more should we obey God? Yeah. Back. Yeah. I don't understand Patrick's comment there with the traffic. Is he talking about traffic ticket? Yeah. We could talk about a traffic ticket or something like that in our next hour if you want, unless you want to call in like right now, because I got 5 or 10 minutes here. Well, less than 10 minutes, but at least 5 left in this hour. But in the next hour, we're going to talk about prophecy, and we can talk about anything having to do with the Bible or legal issues for Christians trying to walk in God's kingdom and intercourse with the world out there and its laws and officers and authorities. What do we do and what don't we do? What should we do as Christians? Well, I have a little experience. I've been, been walking many, many years in his kingdom. By no means am I perfect, but I am being perfected. Even now, at my ripe old age, I'm still being perfected, but I hope to live to a much more and more ripe old age than the one I'm at right now. Because I think if I could stay here for another, 35, 40 years and actually see the kingdom of God, Jesus come in his kingdom, that's called the resurrection. When Jesus comes in his kingdom, that's the resurrection event. Yeah, I'm going to tie it to that. And so if I die before then, I'll immediately go to that event. Or if I'm here and still in my mortal flesh, when he comes in his kingdom at the resurrection, then I'll be changed in the moment in the twinkling of an eye, and I'll be caught up together with those who are dead in Christ, and then we shall meet Christ in the air at the resurrection event, and then we shall rule and reign with him for 1,000 years, the seventh millennium, and then after that, the new heaven and new earth. And so we'll talk a little bit more about that and some of the other ideas and comments and questions that people had been bringing to me about that as far as the millennium. People seem to have a hard time with the millennium or believing that Christ and the resurrected saints will be on the earth with, God forbid, mortals, sinful mortals. Yeah. And we go, how could that be? They can't seem to reconcile. I mean, how did a sinless man, God, Jesus, come and be on the earth and even hang out with sinners for 3.5 years leading up to his resurrection death and then, give himself over to these mortal sinners and enemies to be killed, to die that death? I mean, how could it be? Well, it could be just like that. How could it be after the flood that we still had sinful men and nations and all of those terrible things that came up until there was a nation Israel? And how could it be that God could have a national church nation and they could still turn against him and apostatize until Christ came? And then he said, I will build my church. And how could it be that he would build his church and still we have all of this sin and evil going on and Satan deceiving nations and peoples and for 2,000 years? How could it be? Well, just like it was. So that we could have another epic where Christ and his resurrected saints could rule for 1,000 years over mortals that will live through the millennial return of Christ and that will have children and be born and die during that time. How could it be? Well, the scripture tells us how it could be. And if we look at all of history, we say, well, gosh, look at all the things that were. So how could we go, well, it just couldn't be. I just can't reconcile it with my mind. Therefore, I can't believe it. Revelation 20, you can't believe that when it says that Christ is going to rule and reign for 1,000 years, and then at the end of the 1,000 years, there's going to be another resurrection and a final judgment before the new heaven and new earth. Yes. So that's how it could be, just like that. Just the way it's been. It's how all those other things could be. I mean, just because it doesn't fit with how I think it should be, or how I think God would do it, regardless of what the Bible explicitly says. How could it be? Well, we'll find out. Just like we're going to find out here in the next, 12 days now to the 14th. And so in the next 2 weeks, we're going to find out something. And I kind of cringe when I think, well, this limited martial law seems like that's the thing that the president has a duty to do. And if he tries to do it, then, and even if he fails, you know, then I will respect him for that. If he does it and he's successful, well, praise God. If he doesn't do it at all, then, you know, but he's got to be careful because his life is in danger, mortal danger now. Because if they kill him, it's over, you know. If they put him to death, then probably the Antichrist would love that because we would have a revolution. How's that going to turn out in the end? Which side are you going to fight on in the revolution that comes if they kill Trump after he, you know, before or after he calls for martial law, limited or otherwise? Your name and where you're calling from, you're on the air. Oh, come on. Okay. Well, I guess I'm going to have to set up Skype or something, or Zoom, and start getting people to Skype and Zoom in, and then I can press on the one I want to hear. Yeah. You know, I need a producer. I really do. And, you know, I think we could give a producer, at least start him at $1,000 a month. if that'll do it for you. And maybe we should pay a producer a lot more, especially if he has his own household and everything. But, you know, God has been faithful to pay me. So, he should be faithful to pay a producer. So if I could get someone here that was like-minded, because it's going to be a few years before my grandchildren are of age to be up to the task to join me here. So anyway, be in prayer about that. And we're going into a break. We're going to have some news, and then after the news, we'll talk about some of these things. So get your questions and comments ready, and we'll be back in a bit. Don't go anywhere.
Visit crosstheborder.org, C-R-O-S-S, crosstheborder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of Nicholas Arthur's new book titled When the Third Temple is Built. That's crosstheborder.org. When it comes to prophecy today, much of the evangelical Christian world has their eyes on Israel, waiting and watching to see when the Third Temple will begin to be built. The plans are drawn, the Jewish people are eager. Most evangelical Christians today believe that the rapture will happen before the Third Temple is built. Hi, I'm Michael Eugene. I was taught that Daniel's 70th week was in the future. Is that really what the Bible teaches? Have we searched the scriptures and found this to be true? Why is it so important for a reestablished Israel to build a third temple in Jerusalem? Is it necessary to build a temple on the same location already occupied by the Dome of the Rock? Is it necessary for sacrifices to take place in the temple on Temple Mount? Is there really a rapture followed by 7 years of tribulation? What is the New Testament temple? Can we identify history and prophecy? Who is the first beast in Revelation chapter 13? Who are the seven kings in Revelation 17? I have asked all these questions, and I have found Nicholas Arthur's new book, When the Third Temple is Built, answers all these questions and more using Scripture to interpret Scripture. The Bible says that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. Nicholas shows us in his new book, When the Third Temple is Built, how the Bible interprets prophecy and not man's private interpretation. Visit crosstheborder.org, C-R-O-S-S, crosstheborder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of Nicholas Arthur's new book titled When the Third Temple is Built. That's crosstheborder.org.
Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border. This is a live prophecy reality edition. And this is Panic Day 261. I forgot to say that. at the beginning of the broadcast, but day 261. And it's what a 261 days. I remember it was 2 weeks. Everyone was going to take a 2 week vacation to flatten the curve. Well, has your curve been flattened? Yeah, honestly, I have to say, you know, for myself, nothing has changed because, you know, I work here on the ranch and I do this broadcast on the ranch and I hardly ever go out. So, for me, nothing has changed, at all, really. But for a lot of other people, things have really changed. And, you know, it's really devastating. It's been really devastating for people to lose their livelihoods and to be called, something derogatorily as non-essential. Yeah, you're non-essential. Kind of like the Nazis called the Jews non-essential, or anyone else they wanted to designate as non-essential. Gypsies, Jews, other non-essentials. Yes, you could, we can take them and incinerate them. They're non-essential. It's the same thing. There's not much difference. But that people went along with it. Well, we'll pay you this time. We'll pay you to be non-essential. So they gave everyone a little payment to be non-essential, but well, that ran out pretty quickly. And that only sealed their fate and helped to destroy their businesses for good, because the 2 weeks went by and now it's been 261 days. And they're still calling many people non-essential. But the non-essentials are fighting back. We should have the non-essential party. You know, you have Democrats, you have Republicans. We should have the non-essentials. That's right. And we actually, the non-essentials are the ones that are in power, that work for the government. Why are they working and I'm not? You know, it's essential for me and my family that we work, that our business succeed. Yeah, it's essential. So don't, for them to call you a non-essential, I would be very offended by that. And so the non-essentials are fighting back, and I'm glad to see that. Let's see, what did we got? Okay, well, as I said in the first hour, and you heard during the break, the testimony of drivers who were driving hundreds of thousands of ballots from New York to Pennsylvania in time to get Biden elected. Okay, see, it's too blatant. See, the first time, they weren't ready. They didn't have the hundreds of thousands of ballots because they had to have them to move in there. The first time in 2016, they thought they just, you know, it was just the regular landslide. This last election was a total bigger landslide than ever. More people voted for Donald Trump than ever. But then Biden got more votes than any president in history, more than Barack Obama, more than, like I said, he's so popular. I mean, you know, 10,000s and thousands of people. Anytime Joe Biden showed up, tens of thousands of people would show up. He was so popular. I could see why he got more votes. Oh, no, that was Donald Trump, wasn't it? Yeah. Joe Biden showed up, and if he got 100 people, that was probably a big thing for him. Yeah, but tens of thousands would show up for Donald Trump. I think Donald Trump was the populist candidate, and I think that a landslide, I think that's a harbinger or an indicator that there was actually a landslide bigger than last time, because guess what? More people voted for Donald Trump this time than they did last time. And I'm sure the cheaters didn't give Donald Trump more votes. They were just trying to get ahead of him. Yeah. So, I mean, it's just so obvious. The lie, the fraud is so obvious. So, and I think even a lot of Democrats, you know, there are honest Democrats out there. There are old school Democrats out there. That's right. Old school Democrats, honest people, not the ones that are mind controlled by the public schools. A lot of people come out of public school and they're not mind controlled. Well, there's, you know, we're all affected by it to some degree, but enough of them can, you know, some of them can see the truth. And so Yeah, but there are those that are so diehard that they can't see the truth no matter what. They don't want to see the truth. They blind their eyes and they're out there running CNN. And, oh yeah, while we're arresting traitors, George Soros should be public enemy. You know, if they could call down missiles to take out this general or that atomic scientist in Iran, shouldn't we be able to call down a missile to take out someone like George Soros? Yeah, I'm not advocating this, but I'm just saying, you know, that he is an enemy of our republic. Although many people love him, but they love him because his money. You notice how those that were getting paid by George Soros to riot, how they turned against him when they didn't get their pay? They said, "Where's our money?" Remember that little forgotten snippet of history from our riotous recent past? Yeah, Black Lives Matter and Antifa riotous recent past, where they rioted because George Soros, first they rioted because he was paying them, and then they rioted because they weren't getting their money, they weren't getting paid. Yeah. So, yeah, that's, you know, that's the best followers that money can buy. Yeah, that's what you get. The best followers that money can buy. See. Okay, yeah, they're still talking about my ghost caller, so everybody's been praying for my ghost caller, but he keeps calling in every week. Gotta love that guy. You know, I like that. You know, people who never give up. Yeah, even if it's just ghost calling, they never give up. You know, that's kind of like me, how I feel, because I never gave up on Christ. You know, I felt like, you know, when Jacob said, you know, unless you bless me, I won't let go, you know, when he was wrestling with the Lord. And, yeah, that's how I felt in the past when I was wrestling so strong against my sin nature, against, you know, my old self. And I just said, I'm never letting go of Christ. I can't accept anything else. It has to be the prize, eternal life. I have to get it no matter what the cost. I'm never letting go. And that has to be your stand. You can't just say, oh, well, I accepted Christ and passively walk through your life like, oh, I got it made now. Oh, Satan loves that. Yeah. Just because I said I love people who don't give up doesn't mean I want you to keep calling in. You're David, where are you calling from? You're on the air. You see what I mean? I think he needs more. He wants us to pray for him more. Yeah. And that's it. Yeah, so let's pray for him more. Yes. Thank God for ghost caller number one. Or maybe ghost caller number two. He might be getting followers. Who knows? Yeah. Will there be wrestling in the millennium? Oh, probably. And I'm sure that at least that there'd be some wrestling going on. You mean as it like worldwide, what do you call it? WWE? What do they call that? But anyway. Yes. Incredible wrestling. Will there be wrestling in the millennium? Okay, so we were going to talk about the millennium. But anyway, that's what we got coming up for the future. That's going to be either Donald Trump is going to do martial law thing and do as Sidney Powell asks and these others have asked or suggested martial law, limited martial law, to have another election. That would be the least invasive, the least, what's the word I'm looking for? Least traumatic thing that he could do with a martial law is to call another election and just have a real election. And it could be done, and it could be done within, I believe, 90 days. It was done in the past. It could be done in the future. It could be handled by the military or the National Guards. It could be done. And we could get it done, probably done in 60 days. if it's done right. But we could have a real election for all of the federal offices, because that's all the president could do is the federal offices. So that would throw out all the federal election results. And everybody, whether you won or lost, you should be happy to say, yeah, I'll have my election confirmed. Yeah, why not? Let's let them confirm it with an election where nobody cheats and there are actual watchers and everybody can see the process is crystal clear and transparent of what's going on. We could do it. Okay? So that's what I would pray for at least. And if that moves on to, if the electors, if electors 535 don't get the job done, then it falls to the Congress. It's already in the Constitution. Yeah. Well, we'll see. We'll see. Yeah. Well, with the element, okay, of insurrection, which we do have an insurrection. See, there's an element of insurrection there that could be used to bypass the Constitution on this. If it was just clearly, well, we need a recount. But it's a little more than that. We have an insurrection, and this election is, this fraudulent election is part of the insurrection that is encompassing the nation. So, you know, it all getting very questionable. We'll see what happens. Yeah. If it falls to the Congress, well, then there's no sense. And then they'll just say there was no fraud, or they'll elect Joe Biden and put him in office. That's not going to cure our problem. But if you think if that's good enough for you, then you can pray for that, WW. But Trump can declare martial law, but he hasn't yet. I'm glad you agree, because there is an insurrection. They are trying to overthrow the public. That much is obvious. Okay? And this election is just part of it. Okay. See. Trump's support signage was 20-1 versus Creepy Joe, says, I'm reading some comments in the chat room over there at YouTube. And, you know, I'm not going to be on YouTube forever. They're still deleting videos on me, and they're taking videos down every week. I've got one hate strike against me on First Amendment Radio YouTube channel. So that's another reason why I'm going to have to get someone else in here to help with my technical skills. And just believe, you know, if you're the man and God wants to send you here, then pray about it. And if you still feel that God wants to send you here, then contact me. And God will provide, you know, whatever is fair for you to be here and to take care of these things. We probably don't even have to be here, because a lot of this can be done. This can be done remotely, except right here in the studio, to set up an actual studio where you have a control room. I don't have that yet. Everything's here in front of me. So to have set up a separate control station, I don't have that yet. This one was expensive enough. But one with another man, then you have to pay the other man. So, I think we need to do this, especially with the demise of the mainstream media that's coming. It's coming. One way or another, the demise of the mainstream media is coming. Yeah. We can just call it Pravda or the Antichrist corporate media. Yeah. Yes. The lies and propaganda networks. Yes. That's what the mainstream media is. And First Amendment Radio should continue and grow in a new environment. Unless we go totally the other way, where we're all kicked off the internet totally, and it becomes totally totalitarian. But I have a little more hope for us here on this continent than that. But I could be totally wrong. I'm ready. I'm hoping for the best, preparing for the worst. Yeah, that's what I think I'm going to do. Okay. Anyway, I said I was going to talk a little bit more about the millennium, and I found this article here, And speaking of articles on the internet, and next week I'm going to get into this, a different topic, and we're going to talk about, well, it has to do with the millennium. And it seems like a lot of what I have coming up has to do with the millennium. But it's a challenge to the timeline in my what year is it. And I first looked at that and almost got taken in by it, but then I reread it again. But it's a very compelling thing, and I'm going to deal with that next week. It's a challenge to the timeline and the seven millennia. It's a challenge to the millennium itself, basically, but having to do with the timeline. So I'm going to address that and answer it next week, and I have one of my listeners to thank for sending that challenge to me. So I do appreciate that. But this one here, this article I'll be looking at today is why the early church finally rejected premillennialism. Now, even the title of this article, and this is on monergism.com. Anyway, for what it's worth, by Charles E. Hill, why the early church finally rejected premillennialism. You could probably Google that and find the article. But he says, Killeism, and like I said, there's a lot in the title of it, tells me a lot about this article. See, it doesn't say why the early church initially rejected premillennialism. It's an admission that though the church initially accepted premillennialism, it finally rejected it. And the final rejection, of course, came with Augustine in the 4th century. Okay? And that kind of put the stamp of rejection on it for over 1,000 years. Yeah. For over 1,000 years, amillennialism was the go-to on the Killiest debate. Okay? So why the early church finally rejected premillennialism? And like I said, that's a telling title, because the early church initially accepted premillennialism. And see, that would go back, for me, that would take us back to infant Christianity, and the apostolic thought was not finally a final rejection of premillennialism. It was the initial acceptance of premillennialism, especially by those church fathers who came in the 2nd and 3rd century and had the revelation as their guide. Okay. And so you can pretty much, amongst the early church fathers up to the 4th century, you can put them in two classes. Those that followed John and the revelation, and the disciples of John who had read the revelation, they would be in the premillennial class. And those that did not usually never mention the revelation, but accepted amillennialism, or consequently, especially among the 2nd and 3rd century, but going on, more of them would have read later on the revelation, but then turned it into an allegory, okay, or a chapter 20 into a recapitulation of chapter 19, Battle of Armageddon. They say the Gog and Magog battle of chapter 20 is a recapitulation, and therefore it is amillennial, or pre, that the millennial is an allegory for what we're living in now. And then you need an amillennial intermediate state, because here's the problem, is where do the saints go that die in Christ until the resurrection? See, that's their big problem. Anyway, Killiism is the ancient name for what today is known as premillennialism, the belief that when Jesus Christ returns, he will not execute the last judgment at once, but will first set up on earth a temporary kingdom where resurrected saints will rule with him over non-resurrected subjects for 1,000 years of peace and righteousness. Okay? And where would they get this idea? Well, we get it from the plain reading of the text in Revelation chapter 20, and by harmonizing all the previous texts having to do with the age to come. That's where we get it. So he goes on to say that the church rejected Killeism may sound bizarre today when premillennialism is the best known eschatology in evangelicalism, having attached itself to fundamentalism. Killeism, in its dispensationalist form, has been vigorously preached in pulpits, taught in Bible colleges and seminars, and successfully promoted to the masses through Bible studies, books, pamphlets, charts, and a host of radio and television ministries and internet ministries and movies, and on and on it goes. He's talking about dispensational premillennialism. And as I said in my book, and I've said here on the air before, is that we have to separate those two. They're not the same thing. Just because dispensationalism embraces premillennialism doesn't mean that we reject premillennialism on the basis that it is associated with dispensationalism, any more than we reject the resurrection because the dispensationalists accept that too. Okay? We separate the two. We accept the resurrection, but we don't accept dispensationalism and their whole scheme of things, especially the 70th week of Daniel being juxtaposed off with a gap and all of their several gap theories. We reject that as premillennials or pre-reformed Killeist. Okay? But how are we to view the church's earliest period up to the first decisive rejection of Killeism in the church? By most accounts, this was the heyday of Killeistic belief in the church. Many modern apologists for premillennialism allege that before the time of Augustine, Killeism was the dominant, if not the universal, eschatology of the church, preserving the faith of the apostles. Some form of Killeism was certainly defended by such notable names as Justin Martyr, Irenaeus of Lyon in the 2nd century, and Tertullian of Carthage in the 3rd. How and why, then, did this view finally fall into disrepute? That's what I'm saying. It finally fell in repute, but it wasn't initially rejected, but it was finally rejected and wholly rejected by the 4th century with Augustine. And we'll continue this conversation when I get back, and I'll check the chat room for comments or questions on that. Okay, you're listening to Cross the Border, Prophecy Reality Edition. We'll be back in a few minutes. Don't go anywhere.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on satellite, internet, or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our listen and schedule pages on the internet. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
Welcome back. You're listening Across the Border. This is a Prophecy Reality Edition. And in this segment, we're discussing the Millennium Question and some challenges to it. I was looking at this article from Mondrism. I had some comments in the chat room over there at YouTube. And I have to say, I'm not going to be, probably won't be at YouTube long unless they change their ways, because I'm not changing mine. And they keep deleting my videos, and I have a hate strike. As you can see how hateful I am. I have a hate speech strike on our First Amendment radio channel, so probably won't be there long. And so we'll have to go live with our video on our chat room page, which I put a link in the chat room at YouTube, so you can switch chat rooms where we'll still be later on. Plasso, it says, Augustine was Gnostic before he became Catholic. Let's see, Luke says, Augustine had the doctrines of grace correct, but was very off on eschatology, specifically in regards to the Millennial Question. I agree. And one of his main, disputes with millennialism was that it was fleshy. I mean, as if all they were going to do in the millennium was gorge themselves on food and enjoy all of the fleshy desires and fulfill the lusts of their flesh, you know. But no, that's not what being resurrected in the millennium is about at all. It's going to be about something else. But I think that's what he was looking at. And there was a lot of heretics out there that were rejecting. Anyway, this article I'm reading talks about that too. So how do we view the church's earliest period up to the decisive rejection of Kileism in the church? By most accounts, this was the heyday of Kileistic belief in the church. Many modern apologists, I think I did read that already, some form of Kileism was certainly defended by such notable names as Justin Martyr and Irenaeus of Lyon in the second century and Tertullian of Carthage in the third. How and why then did this view finally fall into disrepute, he says. The answer given by modern premillennial apologists usually suggests that premillennialism was overcome for illegitimate reasons. They cite the rise of the unbiblical and dangerous allegorical hermeneutic by such as Clement of Alexandria and Origen, which took a sad toll on the solemn biblical exegesis. They explained that the prophetic excesses in the Montanus gave Kileism a bad name. They note that the Peace of Constantine led the church to the false belief that the millennium had already arrived. And finally, they suggested that the authoritative repudiation of Kileism by Augustine, who formerly had held such a belief, put the nails in the coffin of premillennialism. And all of those things contributed over the third and fourth century to end the belief of Kileism or premillennialism. And by premillennialism, we mean that Christ returns before the thousand-year reign, before the final thousand years of this creation, and the final judgment and the new heaven and new earth. Okay? That's what premillennial means. But are these the real factors? Well, yes, they were factors. The hermeneutical questions is indeed an important one. But to put the debate in terms of literal against allegorical is, he says, overly simplistic. Both sides use literal exegesis and both use allegorical exegesis when they deemed it best. And I can give you an example. I was looking at it this morning. We have a reference to 144,000, I believe in chapter 14 of the Revelation. And it's allegorical, it's symbolical. but it says it's symbolical. It says 144,000, and then it says in the text itself, the 144,000 represent. Okay? You want me to go there and show that to you? I can do that. Just to clear it up. Okay? Let's do that. And we'll show you the difference. Let's go to chapter 14, and I believe, okay? Aha. I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on Mount Zion with him 144,000, having a father's name written in their foreheads. Okay? Okay, and it says in verse 3, they sung, as it were, a new song before the throne, before the four beasts and elders, and no man could learn that song but the 144,000. And here it's going to tell you right now what the 144,000 represents, which were redeemed from the earth. So the 144,000 represents all of those which were redeemed from the earth. These are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. And that's of course, referring to the resurrection. Now, a lot of people, and especially the dispensationalists, say, no, these are just going to be Jews. But no, these represent the redeemed. And we are virgins. When we're born again, it's like we receive a new virgin birth, where even our subsequent sin doesn't stain us because of the blood of Christ. So, spiritually speaking, we are those virgins. But it says there, it does say in the text itself, let's see, can I put that on the screen? Yes, I can. Right there on the screen. But it says, and there it is, which were redeemed from the earth. Okay? They sung, as it were, new a song, and no man could learn that song but the 144,000. And the interpretation of what the 144,000 stand for, of course, it's referring back to God's people, which were 12,000 of each tribe. And the tribes of Israel and the temple are all representative of the church of God. We learned that from Paul, and we learned that from the epistles, that we are the temple of God. So we learned that the temple of God and these 144,000 of Israel are the church, are the redeemed of the earth. And he goes on to say, which were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. And these first fruits are at the resurrection, resurrected with Christ. In their mouth was found no guile, for they are without fault before the throne of God. And that's us. We are without fault before the throne of God. By faith, we have already achieved and received that. By faith, by the righteousness of Christ, we have already received that position. So this is talking about the church. Whereas if we go to Revelation chapter 20, there's no explanation saying that the 2,000 years represent something else. But if we harmonize Revelation chapter 20 with everything else that is written about the age to come, then it makes perfect sense to harmonize that which came earlier and was presented off topic in most cases, okay, as promises or as incentive for our behavior and for following Christ, okay. If we take all of that was revealed before and we harmonize it with chapter 20, we get a perfect picture of the millennial reign of Christ and the Kilioist belief. So there's a difference there. And in the text, you can find out, you'll usually, if something is symbolic, it'll tell you what it's symbolic for in the text itself. Okay. So anyway, where was I? The early Montanus. So why did the church reject Kilioism? As with most historical questions, the answers are complex. The common criticism known from The common criticism known from Origen to the Augsburg Confession and beyond is that Kilioism is a Jewish error. This criticism is open to grave misunderstanding today if one views it as part of the church's shameful legacy of anti-Semitism. But this is not what lay at the base of such criticism of Kilioism as Jewish. Jesus was a Jew, as were all of his apostles. Now, this is an amillennialist writing this and rejecting this argument, the Jewish, because a lot of people throw that with me. Oh, that's a Jewish fable. You know, a lot of people throw that at me. But here's an amillennialist with his head screwed on straight, at least this far, who is rejecting that argument. There's no embarrassment at all in something being Jewish, and the ancient and honorable tradition of the Jews in monotheism, morals, and the safe guarding of a holy scripture is something Christian leaders always prized. Another modern misunderstanding of this criticism must also be avoided. Current forms of premillennialism, particularly dispensationalism, might seem Jewish to some because they promised that the kingdom of God will be restored to the ethnic Jews as a just fulfillment of the Old Testament promises of Abraham to his descendants. And see, that's what dispensationalism. They believe that the ethnic promises to the physical nation, the flesh and blood nation, but flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. So this, all of those promises are to the Jews, and they're fulfilled in the church that Jesus, their Messiah, said that he would build and beyond. And so the millennium is not just to a fleshly nation of ethnic Jews, but it's to all of the elect, regardless of era or ethnicity. Okay? Regardless of era or ethnicity, there is neither Jew nor Greek, for all are one in Christ. And let's see. Kilianism was Jewish in its view of the saints' afterlife. Second, we know that the earliest Kilius and non-Kilius eschatologies had to do with more than just an expectation of a temporary earthly kingdom or lack thereof. They encompass other beliefs about eschatology. It may seem curious to us today, but the ancient Christian Kilius defended a view of the afterlife in which the souls of the righteous did not go immediately to God's presence in heaven at the time of death, but went instead to a subterranean Hades. Here souls in refreshment and joyful contemplation waited for the resurrection and the earthly kingdom before they could enter the presence of God. Okay, and so we get this, and we see this in when Jesus talked about Lazarus in a compartment in hell, and across the chasm there was a man suffering in flames who wanted Lazarus in that paradise compartment of hell to just put a drop of water in his tongue. So we get that from this story that Jesus told. But we also are told that there was an event that happened when Jesus rose from the dead, that some of the saints came out of the ground, and Jesus set all the captives free. Okay? And where did they go? They didn't continue on the ground. It says some of them talked to their families, but they moved on. Where did they go? I think that was an extra witness for, exclusively for Israel, because it was still the 70th week. And they received that extra dispensation and witness there on the ground of their beloved departed ones coming out of the grave and speaking to them and visiting them with the gospel, because that's what happened. That's what's being expressed in very few words. And I understand why there's so few words about that in the gospels. Simply because people take things like that and they blow them out of proportion, and next thing you got a whole new cult. But it's just there to tell us that those captives were set free. They're no longer in some subterranean compartment of hell called paradise. Those captives were set free. Where did they go? I'll tell you where they went. They went to the resurrection. They aren't waiting around in some amillennial intermediate state, floating around in heaven with Jesus ruling and reigning for a figurative 1,000 years that we're living in now and is about to be completed. Because if they have it their way, this is going to go on for another 1,000 years, especially if we have 7 millennium to go through and we're only getting near the end of the 6. I hope they're wrong and I'm right. because, you know, but it won't matter because if, you know, my sister who died in 1985, she went to the resurrection. And if I could have told her then what I know now, I would have said, I'll see you in a few minutes. You know, you're departing now, but I'll be there in a few minutes. I'll be there right behind you. Of course, it will probably appear at the same time, but it may take us a few minutes to find each other. But I believe all the resurrected saints, when you die, all of the elect go immediately to the resurrection event in the future. We aren't waiting around in some chasm in the earth or floating around in some cloud in some intermediate state. Because the you know, Paul said that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And when we see him, when I see him, we will be like him. So if he's resurrected in a resurrected body, he's not some ghostly entity floating around in some heavenly intermediate state somewhere. Okay? So this is where they get that. And I believe that's an error. Yet most of the church, at times, even the Kilius themselves, in spite of themselves, knew and treasured the New Testament hope of an immediate enjoyment in the presence of God in heaven. And see, this is where he goes off and says, no, we have to have an intermediate state. So he has here this thing about knew and treasured the New Testament hope of an immediate enjoyment in the presence of God in heaven with Christ at death. And he puts a bunch of scripture verses there. But if I harmonize these scripture verses, I realize that yes, we do have an immediate enjoyment in the presence of Jesus at the resurrection event. Okay? If I harmonize everything I see in the Gospels, in the Epistles, with Revelation chapter 20, which came later, and according to the doctrine of progressive revelation, should be the text that we harmonize everything else with. And everything harmonizes perfectly with Revelation 20. There's no problem with harmonizing all of those texts. There's nothing that does not fit. That's what I mean by it. Everything from the Gospels and the Epistles harmonizes completely and perfectly with Revelation 20. There is nothing that doesn't fit or it needs to be rejected that came before. But it all harmonizes perfectly. And just to accept the fact that you immediately go to the resurrection, I mean, because where were you before you were born? You don't have to fill out that time. So why should you have to fill out the time when you depart? The time between when you depart and the people on earth are going through time. Subsequent generations are going through time. Not us. We don't have to fill out that time between the time we depart, or people who departed in the past don't have to fill out that time somewhere between the time they departed and the resurrection of the dead. They go immediately there. They don't have to wait around. They're not in, like, you know, God has a waiting room. And oh yeah, Jesus needs us to float around in some incorporeal, intermediate, amillennial state, and help him to rule from heaven until the resurrection of the dead and the new heaven and new earth, because that's the picture they're trying to paint for us. But like I said, if God could do everything he did in the past, and he had all of these different epics in the past, well, why can't he have this different epic that is expressed for the future called the age to come? Okay? Because I don't call the new heaven and new earth the age to come. That's the eternal state of things. That has a beginning, but it has no end. So it's not an age. It's not an epic that has a beginning and end, like all of the epics that we've already seen in our history from creation. The antediluvian epic or age. Then we had the age from that to national Israel. Then we had the age of the nation church, which is what Israel was up until Christ came. And then we have from that time until Christ comes. We have the church age, the age of the supranational church, a supranational nation, a holy nation that transcends all of the boundaries of all of the nations on earth. That's the epoch we're in. That's the age that we are in. Okay? In this age, when it says this age in the New Testament, and the age to come, is that final epoch, the millennial reign of Christ. He says, yet most of the church, and at times even the Kilius themselves, in spite of themselves, knew and treasured the New Testament hope of an immediate enjoyment in the presence of God in heaven with Christ at death. And yes, I do believe that. But it doesn't have to be an intermediate state. We go immediately to the resurrection event. And that satisfies all of these other scriptures he gives us about the immediate enjoyment of the presence of God at death. That's true. We see Christ coming in his kingdom when we die. You know, the first martyr, that's what the first martyr spoke of. He says, I see Christ coming in his kingdom. Yes, because where was he? It was the resurrection event. Here, Christ is coming in his kingdom at the resurrection event. That's when we will see him, because we will join him then. We don't have to fill out the time. We don't need a waiting space or an intermediate amillennial place that we can wait, like you're waiting in a doctor's office or in a line at the bank or something. Don't you hate waiting? No, it will be immediate, but we will be immediately at the resurrection. And then Revelation 20 tells us gives us an overview of everything that's going to happen from that point on. Okay? But he says, our author says, this vision essentially saw the millennium in Revelation 20 as pertaining to the present age, wherein the righteous dead are alive in Christ and now participating. So everyone who's died is now participating with their king and high priest in the priestly kingdom in heaven, he says. But where were they before they lived? And what about those that never got to go there, you know, that live up until that time? They miss all of that. This takes a little bit of imagination to fill it out. And then you have to reject what is the express meaning of Revelation 20 to believe this. And then you have to start doing a lot of gymnastics to figure out when the first resurrection happened. Yeah, when did that happen? And I write a lot about that in my book, which many of you have heard already. So in the light of this, and of this fully Christian expectation, a return to an earthly existence where sin and bodily desires still persisted, and a final war, as in Revelation 28, 9, and 10, still loomed, could only be a retrogression in redemptive history. So it must be rejected, yes, on the basis of that, because it's just a retrogression in redemptive history. Well, gosh, you know, when Jesus came and we got the new birth in Christ and the church went supernational, well, there were still sinners around and death was still looming and we had a retrogression and could say all the same things, but I'm out of time. So that's all I have the time to say today. So may the Almighty bless you and keep you as you walk on the narrow way that leads to life. Till we meet again.